Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Hear now the words of our Lord. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Now turning over to our gospel lesson. In the 15th chapter of John, verses 9 through 17. And if you recall last week, we talked about the vine and the branches, and the vine and how we are nurtured by the vine, and that we are part of the vine, and the vine is part of us, and the vine is Jesus Christ. Now, starting in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now we'll pause a moment here. This whole scripture in 15 starts immediately after the last line in chapter 14 that says, come now, let us leave. They have finished the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper has been taken. Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples. His betrayer has already departed to go and gather those who would arrest Jesus. Jesus is now said, come now, let us leave. He doesn't tell us where he is, but we do know that the area between where the Last Supper is believed to occur and the Garden of Gethsemane are is rich with vineyards. And you can see the hills rolling back from that area with the vineyards. And surely as Jesus used this illustration of the vines going up the hillsides to tell them that he is the vine and they are part of the vine. And now he's telling them that he loves them and how much he loves them. And he's leading them, probably walking or pausing by the vineyards or walking on their way to the garden where he knows he will be betrayed and arrested. These things that he's saying are so important, so urgent, that these people he's been teaching for the last 3 years, these are his parting words to them. These are the things he feels the need to tell them before he is arrested and put to death. These are the things he feels that they must know. We remember he washed their feet. They must understand service. They must understand humility. He taught them that they are part of the vine. They're not just out there all alone, but they are part of God. They are part of the Holy Spirit. They are part of Him. And now He's telling them how much He loves them and cares for them. Beginning again in verse 15, after He had just said in 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command." In 15 He says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other." And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Bible talks a lot about love. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And in Romans 5:8, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ told us in the scripture we just read that we did not choose Him, but He chose us. Why in the world would the Creator and the Son of the Creator and the Holy Spirit, the three that make up God, the triune God, why in the world would they choose to love a sinner? Why would they choose a sinner, a person who doesn't do what God has commanded, to follow them? Why would Jesus so love these sinners that He was willing to die for them? It's important to remember that God knew that man cannot understand God, that man never will understand God. God is the creator, the inventor, if you will. And as C.S. Lewis said, and I often quote, "It is impossible for the invention to ever understand the inventor." I remember the old saying is that it's like speaking of oceans to a well frog. It's beyond our grasp. Yet, He did choose you. He did choose me. You are here this morning. He has called you. He chose you because He loved you. And He loves you. In spite of the sin, not because of it, He so loved you that He came to earth in your form. Not in the spiritual form, but came to earth in the form of a human being. He came to earth in the form, in your form and in my form. He came to earth to be like us, so that we could come to know Him and to be like Him. Christ so loved the world that even as He was walking to the place where He knew after an hour or two of prayer that He would be arrested and tortured and put to death. And on the way to this place, instead of saying, "Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I need to get out of here. Oh, I can't believe I'm doing this for You." He didn't say that, did He? He didn't say, "I can't believe I'm doing this for You." He didn't say, "You know, You don't deserve this." He said, "I call You friend. As I love You, you are to love one another." In Galatians 5:32, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness." And the first is love. Jesus said in verse 16, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. How in the world can we love Jesus? We sang this song this morning, "What a friend I have in Jesus." Do you think that Jesus could sing a song saying, "What a friend I have in"? Put your name in there. How would that go? It's scary to me. I don't know about you, but it's scary to me. I would think that Jesus would start off in this, "What a friend I have in Bill," and then say, "Oh, yuck. What am I talking about? Not." And yet He has called you friend. We are told to draw near to Jesus. We are told to be a friend to others as Jesus is a friend to us. And not only are we told that this is really a good thing to do, that this is something that you really ought to do. You know, it's really important that you look out for one another. It's really important that you set yourself aside and put others first. It's really important that you give up this anger and this guilt and this regret, and you give up this sense that you're not being treated fairly and that you don't get the respect you ought to get. You need to put this aside. He didn't say that. What Jesus said was, "My command is this." It wasn't a suggestion. It is not a good idea. "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." And then He goes on to tell us that no greater love has one than to lay down their life for another. Most of us will not be called to lay down our lives for another, although it's a possibility. But we are called every day to put our lives and our needs and our wants and our desires and our emotions and our anger and our regret and our guilt and our blame aside. Because when we harbor these harmful emotions, we cannot love one another. One of the things that we talked about last week when we were talking about the vines was how, if you recall, in the argo, in the Greek word argo, that meant to, that they used in most of the versions as to take away or to cut off, that the real meaning, the first meaning of that word is to lift up. And then the second time that in pruning the vine and talking about cutting off the vine, the Greek word that is used is kathos. And we get the word from that, catharsis. A renewal, a cleansing. One of the things that we receive when we love one another is a catharsis. One of the things that we receive when we love one another is renewal. You cannot outlove Jesus Christ. You will not outlove Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ says, "This is my command," He's not doing it as the king who has power over life and death, which He truly does, and who He truly is. When Jesus says, "I command that you love one another," He's telling you what is necessary to be part of the vine. What is necessary to be part of Him. What is necessary to be His friend. Is to put yourself aside. Because only when we put ourselves aside are we ready to serve. We cannot serve one another when we're looking to be served. We cannot serve one another when we're more concerned about ourselves than others. My wife would tell me, "Bill, just give it up." And I know exactly what she means when she says that. "Bill, get over it. Give it up. The world does not circle around you. The world circles around the sun," right? We taught that in Bible school. The S-O-N, right? I remember doing a children's time years ago, and I explained about that, how the world circles around the sun, and that the sun, we're talking about the S-O-N, and this little girl sat there and she said, "Ah, I get it." It was very difficult to finish the discussion. Because she surprised me, and because of the joy that she did in fact get it. She did understand. I find that the only way that I can put myself aside is by practice. It's not something I can go and, you know, I know there are people, I know, and maybe some of you are included, who the Lord came into your life and the life is different, and now you suddenly put everyone else first and put yourself aside and live to love one another. Well, that's not me. I wish that it was, but it's not me. It's not my nature. It's not how I am. It's something that I have to practice. Sometimes I even have to pretend until I get it. Now, that may sound false and like a liar to you, but in fact, what happens is when I practice putting others before me, when I practice being somebody that I know, in fact, I'm not, then the Holy Spirit rewards me and brings me closer to being that person, in fact. Brings me closer to doing that by nature. And after a while, it becomes habitual. It becomes a habit because you get into the habit of putting yourself aside, even though it's not our nature. You know, if putting ourselves aside was our nature, then it wouldn't mean anything. It wouldn't be a sacrifice. It wouldn't be a gift to God. If it was natural to put ourselves aside, then the whole world would do that. But the world doesn't do that. It is unnatural to put yourself aside. But thank God, you and I serve a supernatural Lord. We serve a God who is supernatural, and it's through that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that we can learn to put ourselves aside, that we can learn that the world doesn't circle around us. In Ephesians 4:2, it says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." Love involves not only caring about one another, but it also involves obedience to Christ. Christ said, "This is my command." Don't you recall in John 21 when Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." What he said was, "If you love me, feed my sheep." If you love me, feed my sheep. It was a command. So Jesus is the King, and the King has given his command. And we, if we love him, will obey his command. And as we obey his command, because he's King, we will learn the joy that his command brings. Because obeying the King brings the reward of joy and peace and unity in a way that nothing else in this world ever can. If you love me, feed my sheep. Jesus commands to us, are commanding us to do what he tells us to do, but he's also commanding you and me to do what we need. What we need to do. So it's like no other command you will ever receive, except that perhaps when your mother told you, "Honey, I expect you to do the right thing." And we knew that wasn't a suggestion. Mother Teresa said, "The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread." Are you a friend to Jesus? Can Jesus call you friend? Spend time this week in prayer. Spend that time this week pausing. Spend time this week stopping before we speak. Stopping before we react emotionally. Sometimes we need an emotional pause. to catch us, to redirect us. Learning to love one another and putting ourselves aside is not an easy thing and not a natural thing to do. And it's like I've shown you before and everything, when we say to cross your arms and now cross them the other way, it's not easy to do because we are creatures of habit and we do what we find natural. But after a while, you'll find it quite natural if we pause and think about the friend that is watching and nurturing you and giving you encouragement. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.